Welcome to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. It is so exciting to be here, and that means it's Friday again. Woohoo! We love Fridays. These Fridays mean that we get to go work with the shelters on Saturday and Sunday and helping clients who have formerly bad dogs who are now good dogs. So we had a really interesting week, one of the great things that we've been working on for a long time. And we finally put it into practice, is our cortisol detection dogs who are working in classrooms around the country, but now in courtrooms helping children to testify. And what's really cool about it is that we are the only ones in the world who do this, as well as the real-time cancer detection dogs. And it's kind of fun because we get a lot of great people out there who say, Janice, I really want to help you guys to do this. And I want to be able to, you know, help detect cancers early. I want to help in schools with special needs kids and even children who are gifted and talented, who are stressed. And, you know, we have a whole program for this that we train people to do things that nobody else does in the world. And we are the first and only ones. And I am sure that we will have imitators, as we did with some of our other programs. But that's okay, you know. It doesn't matter. We do the best, and we're the first, and we know what we're doing. And if you say, you know what, I would love to do that. I would love to be able to help find cancers early. I would love to be able to help children with special needs. We, you know, all these things that we do, I train people to do them. We have a whole amazing team, almost 200 people right now, plus another 350 who are not certified but are highly trained in all of the different techniques. And we even have teachers, we have dentists, we have veterinarians, we have medical doctors, psychologists, psychiatrists, x-ray technicians, we have ultrasound technicians, we have nurses, we have everybody from all over. We even have architects. And what's great about it is that all of us are in this for the same purpose. Our purpose, to help people and to rescue dogs. What could be better than to help people and help animals all at the same time? Well, there's not much better. So if anybody wants to look, you got to check on and Facebook friend us and like us. You should really do United K9 Professionals. Go to our website, United, the letter K, the number 9, professionals, with an S, .com. And see one of the great things that we offer. We are starting new classes in 2 weeks, so if you were so disposed to helping us in our mission to help more people and save more dogs, then, you know, join our team. It is an awesome, incredible group of the most amazing people you will ever, ever meet in your life. Is it difficult to get into our team? Oh, yeah. We take, probably about 8 to 10% of the people who apply. We are probably more competitive than Harvard or Yale or my alma mater, Columbia University in New York City. But it's very well worth it. We only take the creme de la creme. We take the best of the best. Do we check on people? Oh, yeah. We check background, background check for criminal background. We check references. But, boy, once you're in, it is the best group of people, and they are just amazing. So you can check on the United K9 Professionals on Facebook. You can like us there. You can check us out on our website. You can like Wyatt Ridgeback, who is a public figure because he had so many likes that he couldn't any longer be a human. He had to become a public figure like our good friend Temple Grandin. You can also go on to www.merlinskids, M-E-R-L-I-N-S-K-I-D-S, .org, as well as going on Facebook and liking our page, and you'll see all the cool stuff we were doing. This past week, well, yesterday alone, it was kind of a busy day. Savannah and I did 3 TV interviews, 2 newspaper interviews. I did another magazine interview this morning. They were all, well, yesterday was about the courtroom testimony dogs. Today's was about autistic children and special needs kids with service dogs. We have, next week we'll be talking again on TV and the newspapers about our cancer and disease detection dogs. So keep really, and we even have a great newsletter. So definitely keep that in your mind as far as what we can do. And if you or someone you know needs a dog to be rehabilitated, you have a dog with a behavioral issue, which we're going to talk about today, several of them, from people who have been writing in and emailing us for like the last several weeks. And I'm sorry it's taken quite a while to get to everybody because we've been very busy with our new classes starting. But it is always a great thing when you do need somebody to help you rehabilitate a dog perhaps that has an issue. You know, you definitely want to get on our pages, on the Merlin's Kids, on the United Canine Professionals Facebook and email list, so you'll get the newsletter. And also liking Wyatt Ridgeback and all of our groups, because that's how you learn. You learn by being around great people who are motivated and who love what they do. And I love what I do. Can you tell? Heck, I just wake up happy in the morning, and I go to bed even happier because I've helped somebody else. If every day you get up, you've helped just one person or said just one nice thing to someone and made someone smile, then your time on this earth is worthy. If you just get up and all you're doing is working hard, and which is a great thing, don't get me wrong, but you're not impacting somebody else or making even your family, making your mom or your child smile. Give somebody joy, just a little bit, and then your time here is worthy, and you should smile because you're doing something great. It's not all about money. Money can't buy you love. Money can't buy you happiness. But what money can do is help us and help other wonderful charities out there to help people who can't help themselves, not because they don't want to, but because it's just very difficult for them. So consider helping a charity, even local charity to you, or helping Merlin's Kids. We love you to, if you're interested, make a donation, do whatever it is you want to do. But definitely, definitely try to, you know, do something great to make somebody smile, make somebody happy. So today we're going to end up, next segment, we're going to end up talking about different things that have come through in the last couple of weeks and different behavioral issues that might be something that you have. I'm going to read the actual notes with, you know, omitting names, and you guys can actually look to see, you know, what's similar to your dog. And we'll talk about my book, too, in a moment, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf and Wyatt and Savannah and Brandy and all those cute little puppies. I'm going into the puppy room. All those puppies. How beautiful and sweet and gentle. I'm in the puppy room. I'm out of the studio, as you can tell, and I'm near the puppies. And they're playing, and that's normal. Don't ever worry about your dog being normal and playing. What you do want to do is make sure that it's not over the top. And that's actually the first question today that we have from one of our many, many viewers and listeners around the country. We have a question about what is normal play for a dog? Well, that's kind of the same question as if you ask somebody, what's a normal activity for a 10-year-old child? Well, is this a child who likes sports? So is it a golden retriever? Is it a yellow lab? Is it a pointer? Is it a setter? Is it a spaniel? Is it a herding breed like a Sheltie or like an Australian cattle dog or any of these dogs? If it's a dog that's a high-energy dog, it's going to be a little different for where its natural ability to play is. Now, if you have a dog, and let's go through because this is a great question. This particular lady, she lives in the Midwest. She has a what they call a red heeler. The red heeler, which we call Australian cattle dog, is a very high-energy dog, extremely smart, very, very focused. And if you've never seen one, they almost look like they're a mutt. And, you know, they're a mixture of other breeds, but they're kind of cool dogs. So what's normal play for an Australian cattle dog is not the same thing that would be normal for a dachshund or that might be normal for an Afghan hound or that might be normal for a Ridgeback or for a Shih Tzu, all right? But what you have to look at is the type of dog your dog is. So let's think about it for a moment. What type of dog do you have? And let's determine what's normal for your dog. Well, what's normal for a blue heeler, a red heeler, Australian cattle dog? Those dogs, because they're members of the herding group, which means that they herd. So what do they normally do, border collies included? They nip. Now, do they go and try to kill you in your sleep? No. But are they extremely nippy? Yes. If you get one, like our friend who wrote in to me, had gotten one, and the dog is 5 years old. And what the problem is the dog is great with the adults, but she has a new grandbaby who is 2.5 years old, is toddler. And every time her little granddaughter goes and starts to play or do anything, this dog goes nuts and eventually winds up nipping, biting, going after her. So, you know, obviously the grandma is not happy about this, but she loves her dog. So she asked, what's normal play for my dog? Well, regardless of the type of dog, the age of dog, the breed of dog, the condition of the dog, whatever, male, female, neutered, spayed, unaltered, whatever it is never okay for any dog of any breed to put its teeth on a human or on another animal unless it is very specifically trained, like we train at Merlin's Kids. We train dogs to give deep pressure. For instance, my Whispa-Dee Bunny dog, if I have a little stress in my arm or I want to relax, she'll actually take my arm in her mouth and she'll gently knead, like with her teeth, so softly that it feels like I'm getting a massage. And I'll actually put my arm out and she'll massage my forearms and it just relaxes from all my injuries of all the many times I've had fingers ripped open and hands ripped open and puncture wounds and nerve damage. So it actually feels great. But I did not let her do that for the first year and a half because I wanted the default to be, oh no, we never put our mouth on a person. We can't do that because if we do that, you will end up having a dog who, you know, doesn't understand what's going on and is going to think that it's okay to put somebody's hand in their mouth. So let's go back to this Australian cattle dog for a moment. We have this Australian cattle dog who, for all intents and purposes, is, you know, going to be a great dog, right? And the dog is, you know, doing only what, you know, pretty much what is in its genetics. So, you know, basically the grandmother has to decide what she wants the default to be. My personal opinion and expertise says don't let dogs play tug of war. Don't let dogs put their mouths around your arm, your hand. Don't stick your hands and fingers in the puppy's mouth when it's little. I've heard some crazy trainers who say, oh, yeah, well, you put your hand in the dog's mouth when it's a puppy, and then the puppy starts to understand not to do it too hard. Oh, that's good. That's like, I won't go into the details, but that's like, you know, the people who say, oh, well, it wasn't cheating. I only kissed the guy. Well, yeah, it was cheating. don't start something that's going to finish in an unhappy place. So you definitely want to make sure that you're giving the dog clear signals, very beginning all the way to the end of its life. Don't set the dog up for failure. Set your dog up for success. If you set him up for failure, don't go screaming at him when he fails because you set him up to fail. Teach him from the beginning. Nipping and biting and chewing is not okay. No tug of war, or very, very careful, and I mean careful. If you start seeing any potential behavioral issue, any kind of nipping, any kind of marking territory, any kind of barking, protectiveness, aggression of any sort, leash or food or anything, that's done. I don't play tug of war with any of my dogs. Now, are they allowed to play together? Absolutely they can play together. I want them to play with each other. I just don't want them to think they can ever put their teeth on a human. And you all heard me Friday show and in my Tuesday show, both of them, what was so, so important about making sure that when puppies are little, you know, we're setting them up to succeed right at the beginning. We're not setting them up to fail. So my puppies, who are now almost just about 10 weeks old, are wonderful. I walk in there. They don't grab onto my pants as I'm walking by when I'm going to feed them. They either sit or stand or whatever they do. I don't care what they do. I care what they don't do. And they're wonderful. So they are literally the most amazing puppies ever because I set them up for success, not for failure. We're going to talk a little more about another case in a moment, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. We're talking about common behavioral issues that can be avoided if you're starting with a puppy or even if you're starting with an adult dog who might be a rescue. This next question deals specifically with a rescue dog. The question is, are rescue dogs different and do you train them or teach them in a different way because of their past? Obviously, she goes on to say, obviously, I don't know what happened to my dog before I got him. It was stated to us that they were relinquishing the dog to the shelter because they were moving and couldn't take the dog. All right, that's one of my pet peeves. Now, everybody knows I've got a lot of dogs, and they truly are the best dogs in the world. And as long as there's no unstable energy, I mean, I used to have a kennel boy working for me a long time ago, and it was crazy, but we had some of the dogs who were at our farm who were very fearful, and they came in that way. He didn't make them that way. But amazingly, within about a month or two after he left, these dogs who had been there for 2-3 years suddenly had enormous changes, and actually became quite outgoing and friendly. Now, do I think he was kicking or hurting them? No. If I thought that, I would be in jail because I would have murdered him, because you're not going to hurt an animal when I'm around. But what I do think is that sometimes an unstable energy, even someone who's on medication, you take a person who is on, you know, different kinds of antidepressants or seizure medications or who has medical condition, sometimes if a dog is smart and has a great sense of smell, it will be able to perceive that, this person's different. And that's what happens when you get a rescue dog. Not that the dog has anything necessarily wrong with it, but there's a two-month honeymoon period, meaning that it takes about 2 months for that dog to figure you guys out and to say they're in charge or they're not in charge. Does that mean that, you know, the dog is going to be perfect until the two-month mark, and then if suddenly the dog turns into Cujo? Probably not, but during those 2 months, if you see issues, like he gets a little stiff by his food bowl when you walk by, or that, you know, he's a little bit funny when you go to take his bone away, please don't wait until the dog bites your four-year-old in the face because your child goes to take the bone away. You have to think like a dog. Stop thinking like humans. I know it's hard, you're humans, but start thinking like a dog. How does a dog think differently than how a human thinks? Well, very, very simply, a dog thinks like a dog because he's a dog. Like men think like men because they're men. Women think like women because we're women. So stop thinking like a human and start thinking from your dog's perspective. What does that mean to that dog? So if the dog, let's say, is laying in the middle of the floor, and everybody get my book. If you don't have my book, I know we've sold thousands and thousands of copies already. Hopefully everybody who's listening is going to be buying that book, already bought it. It's called Shh Happens, S-H-H-H Happens, Dog Behavior 101. And it is by me, so you can put my name in. You can get it on Amazon for your Kindle. You can get free Kindle software. In that book, it goes through all kinds of developmental stages, which is why I will talk about that a little bit when it's appropriate. But just buy my book. Like my good friend Temple Grandin always says when people ask her questions, she says, that's why I wrote the book. Read my book. So that's why I wrote my book. Read the book. It's going to help you a lot. So let's go back to this dog who's a rescue dog. And she's starting to notice that the dog seems to be a little tentative and cautious when she and her kids walk by the food bowl. Now, and I don't have a picture of it, but apparently what's going on is that the dog was doing great, and then the last few weeks she's starting to notice a change in the dog's energy. She's had the dog for about 2.5 months, so she started noticing it about that 2 month mark. So what they're doing now, because they had a local obedience trainer, the local obedience trainer told them to put the food bowl down and to walk away and not go near the food bowl again until he walks away from it and he's finished. No. Doesn't make sense on a lot of different levels. Now, to manage it, to say, yeah, you know, I'm not going to have anybody getting bitten because no one's going to do it, you know, go near there, yeah. But it's your house. It's your rules. You're the one who gets to make up your mind and your determination of what's okay and what's not okay. The problem is, if that starts, once that behavioral issue starts, you're not heading to a happy place. What's going to happen, mark my words, once that behavioral issue begins, it is going to continue. And it's going to continue for a while until it turns into something else. Now, does it always happen? No. Does it usually happen? Oh, yeah. Now, think about that. You have a child who's the best child in the world, never gets in trouble. And one day, your child comes home with an F. You don't go crazy on the child and you say, okay, what happened, honey? Were you not feeling well? That's how you deal with it. But if you have a child who has been failing and you caught him smoking cigarettes and he comes home and you think he's maybe a little bit stoned or drunk and you say, you know what, I'm just going to ignore it because you know what, eventually he'll stop. Then you get a phone call a year later that he's been in a fatal car crash because he was drinking and driving and smoking pot or whatever, and he's dead. and now you don't have to worry about the situation because you don't have a child. And I hate to be that graphic, and I'm sorry if anyone has had that horrible things like that happen to their family member or friend, but that is exactly what I'm talking about. Things don't go away. They get exacerbated, intensified, and they become more and more, not less and less. So when that happens, and if you've got that dog, that's when you need to follow what I teach in the book. It happens, S-H-H-H, happens, Dog Behavior 101. You get that book, you start following it like it's the recipe for a cake. You start taking the dog out for a walk before he eats. You start setting rules in your house and boundaries. And no, you don't have to deal with the food issue immediately. You're going to manage that. But if you start doing the other things, the dog is going to start realizing, oh, she's in charge. Well, if she's in charge, then I don't have to worry. I'm okay. Everything will be okay from this point. And so that's where we want to start out. Now, the other thing is call one of us at 855, the number 4, the letter K, the number 9, PROS, P-R-O-S, 855-4-K-9-PROS. Which is 855, I've got to look, 4-5, I got to look here, 4-K-9, P-R-O-S, what's that, 7-7-6-7. That is the number. And we're going to be right back. Stay tuned.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. I just love saying that. It's just so much fun doing this show and having all of you here because, you know, really it's about helping each other and really making sure that we can understand and appreciate all the great things that we're going to be doing and helping each other, helping these dogs so that they don't, you know, end up dead. You know, the biggest problem that I see is that people think that it's going to get better. And it's just, you know, unfortunately, I think, one of those situations where, you know, you just, you think it's going to get better. You know, people do that all the time, you know. They just don't know and they don't understand that, you know, it's going to be a situation for, you know, for a long time, for a lifetime. And unfortunately, when you start realizing that, you know, we've got a big difference in what we're doing with our dogs, sometimes what, you know, happens is we get a dog who has a behavioral issue. And, you know, unfortunately, it doesn't always end in a happy place, like I say. So what we're going to start doing is we're going to continue on for a moment with the last question, and then we're going to continue on to the next question. The reason I want you to call us for help is once you've got that point where you start saying, you know what, I just don't get an easy feeling. I don't get a comfortable feeling with the dog. I love the dog. But, you know, remember, there is a reason that dog was given up. And this is what I wanted to talk about today. If something, God forbid, happened to me or to maybe to you, God forbid, and your dog had no place to go, or my 19 that are here and my, I don't even know how many dogs I have anymore. But think about for a moment, what would happen to your dog if something happened to you? Do you think that everybody would be rushing to take your dogs. Oh, fighting over them. Yeah, I'll take the dog. Oh, I'll take his dog. That's the best dog in the world. Well, it's the best dog in the world. But why did your dog who you rescued end up in a shelter in the first place? The answer is because he wasn't the best dog in the world. He was the best dog in the world, but... And because he had that big problem or little problem, he was very difficult to give up or to find somebody to take him. Think about, now I've got, I don't even know, close to 40 dogs here. If something happened to me or if I needed to get rid of every dog, including Wyatt, I guarantee there'd be 20 or 30 people for every single dog I have. Some dogs like Wyatt and Lexi and Savannah, there'd probably be thousands of people that we could choose from because they're the best dog in the world, period, not but. So you don't have to live like this. I was speaking, and this is our next one for today, I was speaking with a lovely lady today who has two Maltese. The first one was the best dog in the world. Great dog, doesn't do anything wrong. It's a joy to be around. Well, what did she do? Two heads are badder than one. What did she do? She took that dog, and she bought him a buddy. Well, the second Maltese is not so much. He's got some problems. So you have these two dogs who are feeding off of each other's energy, who are creating havoc for this poor lady. And she said, I'm at my wit's end. Well, that was my first book, chapter one. At my wit's end, why? You have a dog who's 4 pounds and a dog who's 9 pounds. I mean, my puppies were that size at like 3 or 4 weeks old. So what could possibly be so egregious and so horrible that a 4 pound and a 9 pound dog, who are adorable, if you've ever seen a Maltese, they're just like, they look like little cotton balls with little eyes in them. They're the cutest things. Well, one dog is extremely aggressive with everybody except for the owner. Well, it's aggressive with the owner over bones and toys, but not with anything else. And as she said, well, he hasn't ever bitten me. He just goes after me. But other people, yeah, he's bitten pretty badly. And she's a very nice lady, but she's been giving every excuse in the book why the dog is doing what it's doing. You know what? There are no excuses. It's not okay. You can understand that a 2-year-old child is in a, you know, terrible twos. Doesn't make it okay. So stop thinking, like my good friend Temple Grandin always says, that bad becoming normal. Bad behavior shouldn't become normal. Bad behavior should remain as bad behavior. You should not make excuses. It is not helping the dog. If something happens to you tomorrow, God forbid, what would happen to your dog? Think about that. And if you can't say, oh, I have my cousin, my niece, my friends, oh, I have like 10 people who take my dog because he's the best dog in the world. If you're not one of those people and you say, I have a couple people who are okay with him where he won't, but they're not going to take a behavioral problem. And that's why dogs, not all of them, but very oftentimes, wind up in shelters, rescued, dumped on a highway, or abandoned. Now, are there some really horrible, evil, just satanic people out there? Yeah, there's some really bad people. But you're not going to tell me there are 4 million people who had the best dog in the world and just decided to get rid of him. So a lot of those dogs that are dumped in shelters are great dogs, but they have a behavioral issue. So that's what we're talking about today, how to fix that, and it's really pretty simple. Now, you can call us at 855-4-K9-PROS, which is 855-459-7767. Yes, you can call us, and we will help you. However, you can read my book and prevent it from happening. It's a whopping $9.99 on Amazon. The reason I made it cheap and inexpensive is not because it's not worth more and because it's not a great book, because it's an amazing book, but so many rescues and shelters have made my book mandatory reading for their adopters. I didn't want to have a $25 mandatory reading book. I put it in as being $9.99 for the ebook, and this way it can help many, many people. I'm not interested in making millions of dollars. I'm not worried about that at all. I'm interested in preventing 4 million dogs from dying every year in shelters and rescues around the country, especially shelters, because there's overcrowding and they have too many dogs. And people who have rescues start, you know, working with dogs that are very bad, very difficult. And, yeah, that's great. And I work with a lot of pity rescues. But the issue is we have to go with the numbers. If you have really good dogs who have minor behavioral issues and you can save them and you can save one of those every month because you can fix them, whatever issues they had, and they move on to their new home, or you're going to take a dog that's going to take perhaps 2 or 3 years, and then who are you going to be able to adopt the dog to because it's such an aggressive dog or so psycho that you can't fix it. Now, I work with both of those kinds of dogs. Definitely do work with them. But again, I think it's very, very telling that some groups will only take a particular breed, and they're known to be aggressive or to be very dominant, and who are you going to give them to? Oh, this dog should go to a home with no children under 18. It should go to no cats. Shouldn't be any squirrels in the area, no deer. As a matter of fact, no birds, because anytime it sees a bird, it drags its owner down. Oh, and it's aggressive, food aggressive, toy aggressive, and aggressive with other dogs. Okay, that's not a dog that's an easy placement. And at some point we have to say, you know, we have to have dogs to save the ones who are the easiest to save. And then, yes, there are plenty of people who will work with the more difficult dogs, and I will help them, and our team will help you. But let's try to get those at least 3.5 million of those 4 million dogs that don't even wind up in a shelter or rescue in the first place because they read my book, they have one of us at United Canine Professionals come to help them, and they don't have that problem, so the dog never needs to go to the shelter in the first place. We are going to talk more in a moment. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we've had pretty spirited shows so far. Let's try to band together. And remember, get on the Internet. You know, you're on it anyway. Get on your smartphone and go to our websites. Go to www.unitedk9professionals.com. Go on to merlinskids.org. And if you think you've got what it takes, put in an application on our online on our sites for either service dog training, therapy dog training, cancer and disease detection training, to become a certified natural canine behavior rehabilitation specialist, to work in a school with cortisol detection dogs or in a court system or in any of many other venues that United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids work with, and be a part of something great. Imagine taking your best buddy to work with you and getting paid for it. And some schools and some places, court systems, etc., will actually pay for your training. And if you're a veteran, there, you might even be able to get the VA to help out to give you a new career helping other people. Don't just go out there and say, I want to rescue dogs like Janice does, or, you know, if you're from Boston, I want to rescue dogs. I want to take them, and I want to, that imitation's bad, but you get the idea. Don't just go off and try it, because you're not going to be able to do it, and then you're going to make it harder for legitimate people and agencies like us to, you know, who are going to try. We do it. We take almost a year with some of our dogs. It's anywhere from 6 months to a year, sometimes up to a year and a half, to rehabilitate a dog and to train it to become a service dog. It doesn't take that long to help, you know, a dog to be, you know, just a great pet. But think about it. Don't mess things up and, you know, and say, oh, yeah, you know, I'm gonna go do that because Janice has been doing it for, you know, 25 years. I started in 1988 with horses and kids and dogs and kids, with rehabilitating shelter dogs, rehabilitating rescue horses, thoroughbreds and other breeds of horses. I used to go to all the auctions and go buy these poor horses and donkeys who were abused, and they would wind up being the best animals in the world. And, you know, that's a really important thing for everybody to understand. You've got to make sure that you do things the right way. I will teach you. Our team will teach you, and you will learn how to do it the right way. You'll become certified to do it. You'll have something that means something. You won't just be like, you know, Joe Schmo, who, you know, did one dog on his own. You will be part of a team that makes magic and that gives people a new career and a newfound meaning in their lives, helping to save dogs. And to change those dogs so that people don't have to give them up to shelters and rescues or to euthanize them, worst of all. So, you know, that's basically what I'm hoping that this show today is going to do for you. If you decide that you want to get involved, you want to be a part of a solution, you want to be part of a team that's going to help each other and help to save dogs all over the world, well, we're the group that you want to be with. And we help each other. We have protected territories. So you're not competing like, you know, some of these other groups that you take an online open book test, you know, and you read some books and, you know, I be the dog trainer. Well, and I believe me, I saw a guy, 19-year-old kid. He was probably the dumbest person I've ever dealt with. And he's like, I'm a certified dog trainer, ma'am. And, I mean, I wouldn't let him scoop poop. And that's sometimes the caliber of these people. And it's not anything with the people, but the course, they don't want you to fail because they want their money. You can fail our course. It's very hard to get in, and it's not hard to get out and graduate. We will help you, but it's a very detailed process. So we're going to let everything kind of settle down. I'm going to give you the numbers again. It's 855 for Canine Pros, which is 855-459-7767, or Merlin's Kids, 855. Hi, Wyatt. And we will see everybody next week, and have a great, happy, healthy, safe week. Take care.